This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
This Day in History is brought to you by Amazon.com and by Audible.com. Whenever we have a book recommendation, a movie recommendation, or any recommendation, please go to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com and click on the Amazon banner. And also, whenever you are in need of an audiobook, we will have something for you at audible.com, where you can get a free audio trial as well at audibletrial.com. I'm Tony Hubert. My partner is Armand Kachigian, and this is This Day in History for February the 21st. And we've got some interesting topics that I can't wait to pick your brain about today, Armand. Well, can you guess what some of them are?
No, I was on Tinder trying to find some pedendal amusement.
You're on Tinder.
You betcha.
They have Tinder for your age group?
Yes.
Really?
Over 70.
Oh, you're not a day over 55.
Tinder. It's a little damp.
You're getting a lot of sweep rights, are you?
I don't know. I'm getting swept.
You're getting
one way or another with the rest of the dust and trash.
Well, all right. This day in history, when Tinder was invented.
Yeah.
What the internet was actually made for.
I don't know how people got laid before the internet. I really don't.
Cocaine? Discos?
Booze.
Booze?
Woodstock.
Yeah.
All right.
Hippie. Well, there.
All right.
Well, I wish you luck.
Yeah, I have one that predates all yours.
In
I
your
don't know
tenderness.
Why.
Well, let's go with your event first. There are several events today that have shaped the world we live in a lot.
Some misshapen world. So.
Yeah, no, they're good, though. There's some good ones. So what do you have, Armand? Because my first one is in 1804.
I'm a couple centuries ahead of you
okay.
here. Boris Godunov becomes Tsar in 1598. That's pretty big.
Boris Godunov? No.
Yeah, well, pretty much from what he inspired, play by Pushkin, Mussorgsky's opera, and, of course, our friend Boris Badenov from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah, Moose and Squirrel.
Yeah, Moose and Squirrel from Pottsylvania. And, you know, the thing will be, he was based on an Armenian actor.
I got to get.
Akim Temirov, who is Armenian. Did you ever see A Touch of Evil?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he was
the guy that Orson Welles choked to death, strangled, remember? That's Akim Temirov.
Yeah, well, hold on. You keep talking.
But anyway, that's Boris Godunov. He was an archer for Ivan the Terrible and his army, and his sister married, Ivan's sister married, I'm not sure how this goes, but anyway, one of his relatives married one of Ivan's daughters, I believe, or his sister. He was there when Ivan killed his son in a fit of rage. We talked about that a
Horrible.
Few weeks ago.
Why
tried
would you
to
do
stop
that?
Because Ivan was terrible. And
well, he was.
What are sons good for? Now, let's see. Killing your father's patricide. I don't know what killing your son would be.
I don't
know.
It's not
filicide.
Well, it's not infanticide because they're no longer an infant.
Right. No, that's, yeah.
So I think past a certain age,
probably
it's not an
filicide, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. For
Psionicide? Anyway, he was regent for the other son, Fyodor Ivanovich, who was really wasn't the rightful king because he was, you know, they had a law in Russia, and this is very practical. I mean, you've got three wives. Your son's through those three wives. Okay, they can get the crown. But this is his seventh wife's son.
And that's too many.
Yeah, three's the limit, buddy. You can't just keep getting married
and
knocking women up.
Can you have them concurrently?
I don't know what the law. I'll have to look that
up. You have to go like
one. We'll have to look at the statutes.
Then, okay.
But seventh wife, Fyodor, was never really acknowledged. Anyway, Boris took over for him. And, you know, if you want to learn more, check out the Mussorgsky opera or the Pushkin play.
But he spawned this.
Wasn't a bad czar, actually.
Who are you?
Yodely doddly hodly ho! Gentlemen, allow me to introduce myself.
Allow me to introduce myself.
He'd be so proud.
Yeah, he had a lot of introductions because I think, as I recall in the show, he had a lot of... remember he had a lot of aliases?
Yes.
Alias Babyface Braunschweiger?
And he hand a card out.
Yeah. Yeah. And Natasha was Natasha Fatal. That's her last name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Boris.
Okay. But that he was based on Akim Demirov, who was a great actor. The Great McGinney. Check that out. And Touch of Evil. That's our boy. And I think
so that's how we go.
Ocho, man.
That's how we go from Russian history to Saturday morning cartoons.
Right.
You got to love the connections we can make. It's astounding, Armand.
We do make some connections.
All right.
Hopefully on Tinder.
And now am I up with 1804?
Yeah, let's go.
The first self-propelling steam locomotive makes its first outing from the Pen... this is a Welsh name, so I don't even dare pronounce it.
Pen y Darren,
Penny Darren?
I don't know.
The Penny Darren Iron Works in Wales. This is 1804.
Yeah, they got to get some consonants. They got some vowels in Wales. You know, you see some of those. In fact, that's a great Scrabble word. I think W-Y-M is a word. Welsh? Yeah. I think that's a Scrabble word.
Just Google Welsh road signs.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the longest.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, if you look up the longest names in Wales.
We used to have a guy here who wanted to learn Welsh, and I was like, why? Why would you do that to yourself?
Learn Chinese and you make some money.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, now you talk about an event that changed steam locomotive motion. Really changes the world we live in.
Okay, but
it does.
I don't know if that's
any
such
steam
a big
powered.
Deal.
Yes, it's huge.
You know the Greeks had steam powered vehicles for their kids were playing with them.
Yeah.
Aristotle
Toys.
Described a steam powered vehicle, so
I don't know
it's
why
not
they,
that new. And
I don't know why they didn't? Why couldn't the
millennia?
Greeks, why couldn't they come up with a railroad?
Well,
because lack of iron or what?
As always, there are a lot of these things that were around, and they just the wheel. I mean, several. In fact, I think it was Aztecs or Mayans or whatever. They had the wheel. They used them for toys, but they never used them for carts and whatever on a big
what,
scale.
They brain dead.
Yeah, kind of stupid.
Kind of.
They built their. They built their.
Or I guess we have so many people
buildings
that are
without,
slave labor. It doesn't really matter.
Well, they were eating too much chocolate anyway. So
you know he would be conquered. Whoever, what's his name? He'd have 50 cups of that hot cocoa.
Right.
It's not cocoa. It's cacao.
Right.
Mixed
the emperor.
He'd have 50 cups a day.
Oh, who was the guy? Yeah, that was conquered by.
That's
Cortez.
Unbelievable. It's incredible. All right, 1828, the initial use of the Cherokee Phoenix is the first periodical. The initial issue of the Cherokee Phoenix. Now, that's a periodical, Armand. And it uses the syllabary that Sequoia invented.
Okay, well, you know,
this is cool. Now, they had their own newspaper. The Cherokee had their own alphabet.
Listen,
wonderful.
Just because it happened today doesn't mean we have to go over it. I think that's
I'm touching on
trivial,
it.
Trifling.
Just because you don't have any Cherokee
has
blood
no
in you.
No significance.
Most
whatsoever.
Americans will tell you they have Cherokee blood
but I mean,
in
them. Okay, big deal.
And it's all a lie. They don't.
Okay.
1842, John Greneau. Is granted the first U.S. patent for the sewing machine.
Okay, I guess it wasn't Singer then, or what's the other one? Elias Howe? I thought it was Elias Howe was the guy that...
Wasn't it Bell and Howe?
Not Bell and Howe. That's Bell and Howell.
Oh.
But they're computers,
Howell.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
Elias Howe is always the one when they ask the trivia question...
He gets a patent.
See,
it's not who invented it, it's who gets the patent. Armand, you can...
Was an American inventor... And sewing machine pioneer. I still would, if unless you're in a trivia contest and they ask you who invented a sewing machine, I think I'd go with Howe.
We didn't say who invented
a,
it. The first U.S. patent.
That doesn't say he invented it either.
Is granted. Granted.
But that's not what they ask.
So
schmucks.
You get all these people sewing.
Okay.
And what does that lead to, Armand?
Sweatshops.
Sweatshops, which leads to what?
Unionization, all sorts of other nonsense.
Or communism, because in 1848, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels published the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah, I've read it. 23 pages of pure bilge. Here we go. Progressive taxation.
Can you explain to me why it has a preamble in four parts?
Right.
And it's 23 pages.
Yeah, well, it's short. Thankfully, at least these guys were brief. I mean, you know, Engels had to go out and get laid. You know, he had a penchant for Irish women. Actually, there's a book, I think, about him and Mary Burns. It's interesting. He banged a couple of Burns sisters. And this is an interesting. Engels is, you know, this guy is not. He comes from kind of a aristocratic background. And his father made a lot of money. He supported Marx through his whole friggin' life because Marx never worked a day in his life. you know.
Well, he figured it out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was great. Yeah.
What a
scheme. Get yourself
scheme.
A great friend to send you a few hundred francs.
In fact, what a scheme he ran.
Yeah, you know, in fact, like when Mary Burns died, who was Engels' 20-year mistress, and showed him around Ireland, he saw this poverty, the potato famine and everything else he saw. And anyway, she dies, and Marx says, hey, you know, I'm really sorry about your, not his wife, because Engels didn't believe in marriage. That's one thing we share. But I'm really sorry about your lover dying. Can you send me 50 francs or whatever the hell? You know, he's always asking for money. So that's the kind of guy he was.
So the pamphlet.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and read it.
It's commissioned. It's no, I'm not going to read it. Commissioned by the Communist League and originally published in London.
Yeah. Well, that's where they were. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In German, it's the Manifester Kommunistischen Partei.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anyway, class struggle.
Working
men of all countries unite.
Would you define the difference between Marxism and communism?
I'm not sure there is one. I'm not sure. I think communism's based on Marxism. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a semantic. I don't think there's any.
There's nothing
now,
there's real.
Communism and socialism is what everybody. Communism is a political, and socialism
is
an
economic
system.
Model.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't the union of communist
right.
country. It was the union of socialist
Correct.
Soviet republics.
Yeah, from each according to their ability, to each according to his need. That's communism, and that's nonsense, of course. That's stupid. It'll never happen. But, you know, free education, public transportation and communication, nationalized, of course. You have to have that. Abolish inheritance and private property. So now you don't have to read it. That's what it said. But we all knew that
abolish
anyway.
Inheritance.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you don't want to be.
Why the hell should you get anything from
sure.
your parents?
Sure. You work all your life for what?
For what? Nothing. For the state. You
can't leave it to anybody.
Jesus.
Well, all right. Well,
all right.
I'm
now,
glad that you're
no,
so,
you, I've,
so
look,
disgusted with it.
You know I'm on record as this. Why do you think I'm the leftist
I don't know,
pinky?
Because you make some rather. I don't know.
No,
irregular statements sometimes.
Irregular,
incongruous
no.
with that sort of philosophy.
Yeah, no. You have to have some degree of regulation on capitalism. That's all I say. Some degree. You think there should be none?
None is better than too much. Let me put it that
That's
way.
That's true.
All right.
None
well,
is.
We have too much now.
But at when there's none, and someone and the consumers either die or are robbed. Who do
people
they see about that?
Because it does not happen anymore because people get, I agree, there was no recourse a century ago. Now
That's
people
right.
are, for instance, take an airline. We do not need the FAA to police airlines because why? They don't do a good job anyway. It's the airline's reputation. Remember, what was it, the one that they died and the people were eaten by crocodile or alligators or whatever in Florida? Remember that?
Well, JetBlue, I thought.
Well, they're right. back. But whoever it was went out of business.
Yeah.
I mean, because, yeah. That's what capitalism does. It, for instance, you know,
I
the
get
FDA.
That. I get
well,
that part, but and
that's
and,
why we don't have access. And not because they have FAA
no,
and their
no.
safety regulations.
Do you think they've reduced? See, here's
yes,
here's the thing about
absolutely.
So they've reduced the FAA has reduced accidents.
No, no, I think self regulation has
how
reduced
can you,
accidents.
But
much
how
more.
Can you ever know that?
You can't. But that's my opinion.
Well, there. Okay,
but
at least but you're
a
saying
thinking
that's
man
an opinion.
Sits there and thinks, is it a bunch of bureaucrats that don't know a damn thing about anything? Suppose, like, and for instance, the BP oil spill. That derrick was checked out a month before. Somebody took the time out to stop watching pornography and go out there and check it out. And a month later, and was given completely
stellar
marks.
Bill of health,
of
right.
course. Great. Perfect. And it blows up.
And it blows up, yeah.
Right. Because these people have no incentive for that.
But I'm saying, regulation will not cure all the ills.
Regulation cures no ills. Because who regulates the regulators?
Who watches the guards?
Okay. Who watches Rocky and Bullwinkle?
We do.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now, that question we can answer. Okay.
Now, Armand ranks British prime ministers, much like college basketball is ranked by
yeah,
coaches.
Yeah, but 20th century prime. I don't go back in the
1874,
yeah.
This gentleman takes over for William Gladstone, his name, and I think to this day, it's the best name of a prime minister ever.
Well, if you're going to be a Jewish prime minister, it's a good name to have. But then
Benjamin
again,
Disraeli
yeah, but
becomes.
These guys alternated for like 20 years.
Yeah, I know.
So.
Benjamin Disraeli takes over for Gladstone on this date, yeah. the 21st of February.
Disraeli, of course, I like him. He's a conservative. He's a Tory. Gladstone's a liberal. And not in the. Here again, that's a misnomer. Liberal in the classic sense is more what I say. Independence, less government. Less regulation, less taxation. That's
yeah.
the classical liberal.
Yeah, those things
so
have
don't
flipped.
Get confused.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, those
right.
things have flipped over
anyway,
time.
Anyway, Queen Victoria liked Disraeli, hated Gladstone.
Yeah.
and vice versa.
She's still in mourning at this time, probably?
Let's see. What was this?
Oh, yeah.
18,
oh, yeah.
She was in mourning for 40 years or something. He died in 1842
or something?
She's
got it covered. 48. No doubt.
She's still wearing her black dress. Nah, she's over that period.
All right.
Being the grandmother of Europe.
1878, Armand. The first telephone directory is issued.
Yeah,
and
this
New
is a good
Haven.
Trivia question. Yeah, this is a good and trivia question. I've been asked this on a trivia. Yeah, which city had the first telephone
New
directory?
Haven did, and we have right. audio of that day.
Thank
we do. You can hear the pages.
Alexander 2222.
You can hear them.
The new phone book's here! The new phone book's here!
Well, I wish I could get that excited about
nothing! Are you kidding? Page 73, Johnson, Maven, R. I'm somebody now! Millions of people look at this book every day! This is the kind of spontaneous publicity! Your name in print!
Your name in print, Armand!
I was afraid of that. Yeah.
Come on, the new
your name in print
and
obituaries,
and,
too. Do you
yeah.
want that?
All right. On this date, 1878, the streets of New Haven were filled with people yelling, the new phone books are here! The new phone books are here!
I don't know what they're filled with these days. I don't want to go there, though.
1880, yeah. Who would be in a phone book today?
Oh, no, nobody. Now you're Googled.
We took ourselves out 20 years ago.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore.
1885, the newly completed Washington Monument is dedicated.
555 and a half feet.
I would have liked to have been there the day the guy dropped the baseball and the catcher caught it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That would have been a cool thing to see.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that would have been cool. 1925, the New Yorker publishes its first issue. Do you read New Yorker?
Not anymore, but
because pink Okami rag, I know.
Yeah, it's garbage. But
if you want satire, may I recommend Andy Borovitz today? Their satirist.
I don't want any satyrs. Listen, this is you want to read the New Yorker classic stuff? They got Thurber, S.J. Perlman from the 40s. You want to read now? That's funny shit. That's
don't they have the collected Thurber? Right. I think don't they?
No, whatever. Any of that stuff's great. But he did a lot of cartoons.
Yeah.
Eustace Tilly is the guy on the cover. You know, their guy smoking the cigarette.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the top hat and the
yeah,
long...
That's
yeah,
Eustace Tilly.
Eustace Tilly.
Yeah.
And was he a real guy or
no,
just the character's
he was on
name.
The first cover. He was like their mascot. Just like... what's his name?
Alfred E. Newman.
Alfred E. Newman, yeah. Right, same guy. Not for the old lady in Dubuque. That's what it's written. It's not written for the late old lady in Dubuque.
Joyce in Dubuque is not going to...
That is not for that.
She's not going to appreciate
Harold Ross and his wife, Jane Grant, are the founders. I think we talked. And the one that got the most mail, and I didn't know this. I had to look this up, but it was The Lottery by Shirley Jackson, which we've all read. Remember that? Remember The Lottery?
Yeah.
Short story by Shirley Jackson. First appeared in New Yorker. I didn't know that. And they got the talk of the town and all these columns.
The columns and everything.
Yep.
All right. 1930.
Read that if you haven't read it.
Oh, I will.
Oh, God.
The Lottery. 1931, this little product debuted.
You worked too hard. You ate too
Remember
much.
This?
The cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Okay, I think we've
what
had
a relief it is.
I thought we banned singing on this show of any type.
Not from Little Speedy.
All right.
I
can't believe I ate the whole thing. I remember those.
Oh,
those were better.
You want me to cue that
one up? No, I don't want to. I'll just belching and... Can't believe. Yeah, take your Alka-Seltzer.
I remember my grandfather.
They had some good commercials.
They ate Alka-Seltzers like it was candy.
Yeah, Tic Tac stuff.
1947, New York City. Edwin Land demonstrates the first instant camera called the Polaroid Land Camera, and he did this at a meeting of the Optical Society of America. That's probably
fitting.
A wise place to do it.
Yeah, it's better than the Proctology Society of America. that wouldn't make sense, would it?
Well.
You just get dark pictures when you...
Yeah, or you have to...
Well, that's where you introduce the Kodak Brownie, right?
Oh,
oh, take that.
Stop.
Yeah, yeah. No mail, please. Mm. Okay. Mm. Yeah, I can get a bad one off, too, once in a while.
A 1948 NASCAR is incorporated. That's a big one, Armand.
Well, you know, I don't know. You've missed a couple of big ones. I don't know what the hell you're thinking.
What the hell am I thinking?
Right,
what the hell are you thinking?
Okay, well, I don't know if you want to wait till halftime or
we're at halftime right now.
All right, because I've got a couple before this.
We do some birthdays. There's some good birthdays today. It's not outstanding, but it's pretty good. 1821, Charles Scribner born. He founded Scribner and Sons. It's really one of the
publishers
ever, right?
These days.
In terms of, let's go back to the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, I guess.
They had a penchant for getting the good authors in there. 1907, W.H. Auden.
Whiston Hugh Auden. Good friends, very good friends with Christopher Isherwood. Very good friends.
Are you trying to say something?
Yes, they were very good friends.
Oh, okay.
And possibly more. In fact,
oh, now you are saying something.
Yes. Anyway, this guy, very prolific, 400 poems. It's got essays, and I've read quite a few. I like him. Age of Anxiety is a good poem. Great, actually, a book. It's a long poem, so it's going to take a little time to read that. But his most famous is probably, the poem he read. Did you ever see Four Weddings and a Funeral?
I tell you, I've seen it, and then at my cousin David's funeral.
Oh, they read it?
Yeah, and David
that's Auden, yeah.
And his partner requested that it be read.
Okay.
So it was very similar.
It was a gay man and his lover.
It was very the
stop
scenario.
All the clocks. Yeah,
and when the lady who got up to
was
read
this before
it
before or after the movie?
Oh, long after the movie.
Oh, okay,
long after the movie. And when she got up, and I had a sense of what was coming. Oh,
what
just
was coming?
The poem. I had a I had a sense that she was going to read. The autumn poem,
stop all the clocks.
Yeah, pack up the stars, away
this. It's a great poem.
Nothing good of this can ever come.
Yep.
I mean, it's just heart-wrenching.
And Age of Anxiety, of course, was made, Leonard, was a basis for a symphony by Leonard Bernstein. Mm. Not one of my favorite pieces of work, but if you like modernist garbage, go ahead. And also a ballet, of all things, by Jerome Robbins.
Oh, prolific, man.
Yep, and Pulitzer Prize for Poetry. He won that. He did some opera libretti, Rake's Progress by Stravinsky, and he also did Paul Bunyan by Benjamin Britten. This guy, he didn't stop working. Scribble, scribble, scribble.
Yeah. Boy, but that, what's the name of it again?
Mr. Gibbon?
What's the name of it again from Four Weddings and a Funeral?
All the Clocks. And I'm not sure if that's what it's called, but I'm not sure that's what it's really the name of it is. Something blues. Oh, shit.
You know what? We might have to.
Yeah, look that up. It's worth Funeral Blues. God, I wrote it down. What the hell? Mm-hmm. Funeral Blues. I always thought it was called Stop All the Clocks. But
well, I mean, I'm going to tell you. I don't know how many people in the room had heard it before. I think a lot of people had.
Just because of that movie, probably. You know.
But, yeah, because when, you know, and here, let me get it.
Yes,
here.
I will remember him. What I thought of him. Unfortunately, there I run out of words.
I mean, this was a heavy scene.
Perhaps you will forgive me
movie.
If I turn from my own feelings to the words of another splendid bugger.
Yes, he was W.H.
Auden.
Bugger.
This is actually what I want to say. Stop all the clocks. Cut off the telephone. Prevent the dog from barking with a juicy bone. Silence the pianos and with muffled drum, bring out the coffin. Let the mourners come. Let the aeroplanes circle moaning overhead, scribbling on the sky the message, he is dead. Put crepe bows round the white necks of the public doves. Let traffic policemen wear black cotton gloves. He was my north, my south, my east and west. My working week. My Sunday rest. My noon, my midnight, my talk, my song. I thought that love would last forever. I was wrong.
All right, I think we're all getting a little choked up here.
The stars are not wanted now.
There's more.
Put out everyone. Pack up the moon and dismantle the sun. Pour away the ocean and sweep up the wood. For nothing now can ever come to any good.
That's something, man.
Yeah, it's even sadder. I'm not getting any hits on Tinder.
Yeah.
I
just wanted to play that since it came up today.
Thanks for bringing everybody
down. No, no. You know what? I mean, here. I've ever told you about my cousin, David Hubert?
I think you've mentioned
survived him. Survived being HIV positive. for 27 years. He was diagnosed in 1986. He only passed away last year.
And
so it was a tribute to my own cousin and his partner, Mark David Hubert, my cousin-in-law, because they were able to get married eventually.
Okay.
Why would they want to, though?
I don't want to get married. Jeez, why do people do that? Hetero or homo.
It doesn't matter,
right?
It
doesn't matter, yeah. I don't get married.
Welcome to the same headaches.
Bad move. Yeah.
Well, anyway.
If I ever get married,
I'll play this.
Yeah, give me that poem at my wedding. That's when that poem should be spoken.
I will get up and recite.
Days of my freedom. Stop all the clocks.
Stop
my clock. Put a bullet in my head. All right.
All right. Who else was born on this date, February 21st?
Cynical. All right. Bloody Sam. Who else?
Yeah, Sam Peckinpah. Oh, yeah. That's a man's man director right there.
He killed himself, basically, with booze and drugs and all that.
Just like Hunter S. Thompson. Well, not just like, but
he was close. But, he was a 4 or 5 bottle of whiskey a day. Woo! Man.
How can you do that?
Well, I don't know. He did it, though. Sam was,
I mean, I know,
a hard life.
I know there are some strong bastards out there, right?
This guy.
But a liver's a liver at the end of the day.
Yep. He
right?
made Major Dundee with Charlton Heston, and apparently Charlton Heston was going to run him through with a saber. But apparently, you know, and they were going to cut him out. They were going to take him out of off the movie. But Charlton Heston saved his job. And he said, listen, anything that runs over, I'll pay for out of my salary. Well, Charlton Heston ended up doing that movie for free.
There you go.
Yep.
And they had fun.
They took him off Cincinnati Kid, one of my favorite movies. He was supposed to direct that. He didn't want trouble with him. So Norman Jewison got that gig.
Oh, Norman Jewison. Good director as well, though.
Great movie, Cincinnati Kid. And you know what his last work was, last project? A music video for Julian Lennon, of all people.
A Volant?
I don't know.
Yeah, Julian had two good songs in the early, maybe mid-80s. And they got a lot of play on MTV.
Okay.
I liked them. I liked both of them.
And
I'll tell you what, the videos were good.
Okay.
Yeah, they were.
Bloody? Were they bloody?
No. Okay. They were sentimental.
Well, you know, he only had two secretaries because only two women could read his hand. He wrote all the scripts and everything handwritten. And
Thank God you don't do that.
Yep.
1925 as well, Dr. Jack Ramsey born, the great American basketball coach and sportscaster. Got to meet him a couple times. Very cool man.
Okay.
I really knew the game of basketball, obviously.
Thank you.
1927, Irma Bombeck celebrated her birthday.
Yeah, you know, humorous for those that are easily amused.
1927, Hébert de Vinci.
No way. Hubert de Givenchy.
Say it again.
Hubert de Givenchy.
So they have a line of ties where... of clothing where they don't
about
give
$7,000 a piece.
They are. That's the Givenchy line. The cheaper brand is the Hubert line.
Okay.
And
any relation to Tony Hubert?
Well, because it's a first name.
That's correct.
Well, who knows?
Christian versus surname.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. I doubt it.
Well, I won't be wearing any Givenchy ties.
No. Get the lower priced Hubert one.
Okay.
That's me.
You get
a tie with my name on it.
Fitting.
Or a coat, you know, or jacket.
Cheap jack. Garbage.
Shirt. No. It's very good stuff. 1943, David Geffen born.
Okay.
Not a fan, I got to tell you. Geffen Records had some great stuff. Not a fan of David Geffen. 1946, this gentleman.
DreamWorks SKG, by the way, of course, is Spielberg,
Katzenberg, Geffen.
Geffen, yeah.
This gentleman was born.
I'm going to count to three.
Remember him?
There will not be a fall. Give me the code. One. Two. Three.
I don't know, Alan.
Hans Gruber?
Alan Rickman, baby.
Yeah. What's that from?
Die Hard.
Hans Gruber?
Yeah. That's most people's introduction to Alan Rickman, and boy, was it a good one. 1955, Kelsey Grammer is born. 79, Jennifer Love Hewitt. You know Jay Love?
Yeah.
You know her?
Yeah.
How about this next one? 1987, Ellen Page.
I don't know who that
Juno. Is. She was in Inception.
Oh, okay.
Well, she's the girl in Inception that plays the lead with DiCaprio.
Oh, okay.
Good actress. Good actress.
I didn't particularly like the movie. I thought it was kind of boring.
Inception.
Yeah.
Kind of boring.
Put me to sleep.
Oh, my God. You've been incepted then.
Yep. I guess so. They're in my head. Okay. Now, first of all, you missed 1902.
What did I miss?
Harvey Cushing performs first brain surgery, the father of neurosurgery, and you totally omitted him. Have you ever heard of Cushing syndrome?
Nope.
Excess. You know, it's from people who take prednisone year after year after year. They get buffalo hump. You know, they kind of get fat and in places easily bruised, acne, moon face.
Is prednisone a steroid?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. And there's also...
Oh, steroid face.
Correct, yeah.
We call it steroid face these days.
Right,
you call it moon face. Yeah, Older generation calls it moon face.
All kinds of hormonal problems for women. And then there's also Cushing's disease, and that's usually, as any first-year resident will tell you, that's an adenoma of the adrenal glands, usually. This guy, we got a lot of instruments we attribute to this guy, even though he popularized a sphygmomanometer. So every time they take your blood pressure, thank Harvey Cushing.
That's also a great trivia question.
Well, he didn't invent it.
I know, but still.
Yeah.
What is the instrument that takes your blood pressure called?
Sphygmomanometer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, my friend Matt Brown loves that question.
All right. He also invented a magnet, apparently, to get shrapnel out of people's heads, out of their brains during World War I.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
I can see using a magnet maybe to identify where the shrapnel is, but if you use a magnet to extract the shrapnel, doesn't that cause more damage to brain tissue?
No.
Why, how not?
Because it's not magnetic. What's it going to do to
soft tissue? No. As the shrapnel gets pulled up.
Oh, I'm sure he does a little dissection first. There's a Cushing. Now, I've never used this instrument in surgery, but I'm not sure it has Cushing.
Wait a second.
Cushing forceps.
Well, time out.
What?
Time out. What'd you just say?
I've never used this instrument. It's a Cushing forceps.
How often are you in surgery?
Well, it hasn't been a while, but I did surgery all the time.
As a podiatrist?
Of course.
Okay.
Are you kidding? We did 7 to 10 procedures a week. We just do $200, $300 procedures a year.
Oh.
You didn't know that? Podiatrists do surgery?
I didn't know you actually... I thought maybe you sent them on to a surgeon.
I didn't know that you cut yourself. I didn't cut myself.
You did the cutting yourself.
That's correct.
So you were in gown and scalpel.
That's right.
Oh,
sterile.
Man.
I wish I was more sterile. Would have saved me a few lawsuits, but that's a different story. Anyway, this instrument I did use, it's not really an instrument. It's a cauterization. You've heard of a Bovie?
Oh, yeah. Is that where they use the heat to seal
cauterize,
off and cauterize a...
And it has a wonderful smell.
Nothing like burnt flesh and protein.
So anyway, this guy was the first to use that, apparently, and he kind of went to business, I guess,
with Bovie.
William Bovie.
Let's say you cauterize a blood vessel.
It's a very small one, though.
I get it.
You tie off the big ones.
Okay. How does the vessel heal back up to function again?
That's why. It's a very small vessel. It just closes off, and that's it. You don't need it. These are very superficial vessels, like you cut your finger.
Sure.
That's it.
They're gone. Okay.
So, yeah, you're not going to do that to, say, the dorsalis pedis, which is your main source of blood to your foot.
Or your aorta.
You cut the dorsalis pedis,
you lose your foot.
Yeah. You cut the aorta, you're dead.
Yeah.
So, or the vena cava or any of those. Anyway, so that's Harvey Cushing, father of neurosurgery, and you gave him short shrift. And in 1916, I don't know, the Battle of Verdun begins, probably the goriest and probably one of the most costly, if not the most costly in human lives battles of all time. About 750,000 casualties.
Good grief.
Lasted about a year, about 300 days. And there's a real interesting German strategy here. We're not going to win this battle. We're just going to fake a bunch of attacks, and then when the French counterattack, we're going to hit them with our artillery. And it kind of worked. And the idea was not to win the battle, but just to, quote, bleed France dry.
Yeah.
So they're just hoping that France just get tired of giving this fodder and flesh.
Let's keep running.
But the French don't do that. They didn't get tired of it, and they just kept fighting.
Just kept running.
But it did give us
one significant
quotation. They shall not pass. General Nivelle. And they didn't pass.
And they didn't pass. And they had no intention of passing.
No. They bid three clubs.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no humor in that battle. All right.
None.
Knock it off. My proctology joke was pretty good, though.
That was a good joke.
All right. Continue.
1957, Armand. This one is, to me, this is incredibly interesting. All right?
It would be.
Well, no. Now, think about this.
you omit the Battle of Verdun and you put this nonsense.
Absolutely. It's not nonsense. You know, it had an effect on...
It's not like Merkel's boner or anything.
No, but it's baseball related. The Dodgers and the Cubs make a trade. Now, you're all asking yourself, okay, who did they
big
trade?
Deal.
Well, the Dodgers send the Cubs their Fort Worth minor league franchise, and in return, the Dodgers get the Cubs' Los Angeles minor league franchise. They also get something else. They get the territorial rights to the Los Angeles market.
Okay.
And this not only includes the team, it also includes the stadium. Did you know there was a second Wrigley Field?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, you are an Angelino.
Yes.
You have been.
Chavez Ravine.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been there many times.
The Los Angeles Angels played in the second Wrigley Field, which is a very close approximation, or was.
All right. Where was it?
To the original. It was in Los Angeles.
I know that. What part of the city? Where was it? Give me an address.
Well, hold on.
Oh, by the way, since you're looking that up, a little clarification from yesterday. I was correct. Emmett Ashford was the first umpire in Major League Baseball, American League. And I think it was in 65, I believe, he became the first African-American umpire in Major League Baseball. So, correct again.
Well, very good. Let's see here. I got a nice picture of it.
You look that up, and I'll get on Bumble
nice
and see if I can
run
up
a
date here.
And from the air, it looks almost identical to Wrigley Field. It's really incredible. Yeah.
No address?
Yeah, well, I'm looking.
It's got to be downtown somewhere.
East 41st.
East 41st.
Yeah, it's in the downtown.
That's farther than that.
I know, but it's in the basin.
Close.
It's in the basin, not too far from the downtown.
So are the Cubs usually.
The downtown area. So they get the stadium, which they'll never play in, by the way.
Yeah.
And they get the rights, and this sets up Walter O'Malley when Robert Moses, the architect of New York City, the man who's really responsible for how New York City looks today. They couldn't get the dome done in Brooklyn, which to me was fascinating that the Brooklyn Dodgers would move to from Ebbets Field to a dome. They couldn't get it worked out. O'Malley moves them, takes Horace Stoneham and the New York Giants with him. New York loses two baseball teams.
Yeah, but they get the Mets.
Yeah, they get the Mets 4 years later.
Okay.
It's a great story.
Can anybody play this game? All right. I don't know.
Casey Stengel
it makes
quote?
It rather, I don't know. It's a story. I'm not sure it's a good one.
Oh, it's a if you've never seen, there's a documentary on
okay,
the whole
watch
move.
Watch that then.
On from HBO.
All right,
I highly recommend
it.
I think it's The Lords of Flatbush.
Okay.
Something like that. 1965, Malcolm X, he's assassinated at the
Malcolm
Audubon.
Malcolm Little from Omaha.
Yeah.
He, I think, you know who killed him? There's a good way to remember this. I think Robert Duvall. Tom Hagen.
No kidding.
Yeah. That's the guy's name.
What was the significance of the get your hand out of my pocket line that was uttered before the shooting?
Which shooting is this?
I don't know. At the Audubon Ballroom.
I think he was trying to pick his pocket?
No. No, it was some sign.
I don't
or
know.
Something.
He kind of ran across. He kind of ran foul of Nation of Islam. I think
he did.
Elijah Muhammad knows.
Well,
it's
a Nation of Islam member who kills him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Tom Hagen, I believe, is the guy's name. That's how I remember it. I remember Robert Duvall. Yeah, I don't know about that, but he was earmarked for destruction. They didn't forgive him.
That had to send shivers.
Well, he wasn't. His approach to. Yeah, he was against racism, basically, not against white people.
And right.
Black Muslims were against white people, or still are. I don't know if they're still around. I guess they are, some of them.
Well, at that time, the enemy, it was their state.
Well, they had a beef.
They are the devil.
But let's try to do this peacefully.
1970, 5 years later, you get the debut of this on American Bandstand.
Debut.
For their first visit, the Jackson 5.
More singing.
Oh, you know you were rocking out to this.
Maybe I was, but I'm not today.
You know you were doing all the moves. Look at Tito.
Where's my white glove?
He didn't wear the white glove then.
I know, just a kid.
Yeah, he was only 9 years old. Maybe 10 at the time when he did that. That's amazing.
Okay.
All right. Also, 1972, the Soviet unmanned spaceship Luna 20 lands on the moon. Why the hell did they not send men up, the Russians, the Soviets?
They couldn't get them back. That's why.
Oh, well, what's they, the okay? So
they didn't have enough spies to get our technology to bring them back.
No one wanted to take one for the team?
That's, you would think they would just send
or,
one
or have any choice?
Yeah, on a
or they say
mission.
Or they just tell them, "Oh, no, we'll get you back. Big party." Yeah. Big party in Red Square when you get back.
I don't know what they're worried about. Well, I mean, these guys are more worried about appearances, and if we send one and they come back and they send one and he doesn't,
who's going to know?
Well, the rest of the world, not the Russians, but the rest of the world will. You can always put something in Pravda or Izvestia.
But back then, if you didn't say anything and just...
Which is a joke, you know, because Pravda is truth. Truth. Izvestia is news. There's no truth in news, and there's no news in truth.
There's none.
Yeah, good joke.
Very
funny.
In 75, the Watergate scandal really comes to a conclusion with the sentencing of former Attorney General John Mitchell, former White House aides H.R. Haldeman and John Ehrlichman.
Yeah, they didn't do anything wrong.
No, they all had names.
Get over it.
They all had names that made them sound like spooks anyway.
They were kind of
like a bunch of spies.
Shady.
And in 1995, Steve Fawcett lands in Saskatchewan, in Leader, Saskatchewan.
Wherever that is.
It's up there in Saskatchewan. And
is obviously before he was. Did they ever find him?
No.
Fake his phone. He's gone.
Yeah.
I think because he didn't have to pay taxes. I don't know. He's around somewhere.
He used to take off from St. Louis all the time.
Oh, did he? Did you talk to him too?
No.
Okay.
No. I would look at this
he's
guy.
He's a phony. I don't know.
We're going to fill up a hot air balloon, fly in the jet stream, and just whatever may be.
Wherever the wind blows us.
Oh, okay. You're crazy.
Oh, good. If you're avoiding taxes, I'm all for it.
Anyway, he became the first person to make a solo flight across the Pacific. Now, of course, that far north, I got to say, I don't count it.
If he went across the Bering Sea.
I don't count it.
Bering
Strait. Let me tell you, I got a problem with another guy. Lindbergh?
Yeah.
Northern route.
Yeah.
Yes, he did cross the Atlantic, but he crossed the top of it, whereas it's the smallest. If you're going to cross the Atlantic, any ocean, I think you got to do it at the equator or at its widest point.
Well, I don't know.
Ever
heard of rum lines?
Oh, okay. I parted the Red Sea, Armand. I went to the very tip of the Red Sea and I stuck my foot in there and the water split. So I parted the Red Sea. Well, how do you like that?
Listen, when you meet your maker, you explain it to him, not me, for that slight on Moses. Okay. He'll get you back.
Edward G. Robinson isn't going to say shit to me.
Edward G. Robinson's on your side. He went in the pit. Charlton Heston's on my side.
All right. I only have one death today worth noting. We've already noted the other death.
We talked about Malcolm X, yeah.
I've got Tim Horton, the Canadian ice hockey player and businessman and the founder of a fine chain.
Now, this is uncanny.
Tim Horton's Donuts.
Okay. Do you know these people are in the news today? You do know that Tim Horton and Burger King, Tim Horton took over Burger King.
Very good.
You know what they bought today?
What?
Popeyes.
Oh, love some
chicken.
They're
going to pay.
I have not had a Popeyes fried chicken
for quite a while. They are buying the Popeyes franchise, too.
And are you getting in on this?
Too late. I'm fucking sorry.
Are these publicly traded?
Yeah. And Popeyes went up like $12 today.
What is the corporate brand on that?
Well, Tim Hortons. No.
Tim Hortons is?
Yeah.
It's not part of the Yum family or anything?
No, no.
No? Okay.
But yeah, now they bought Popeyes, too, and the stupid stock went up $12.
Wow, you missed that one.
Well,
I got to tell you.
I don't know. How the hell am I going to know?
KFC chicken is good for fast chicken.
Yeah.
I really love. There's two chicken. I love Popeyes because you can get a spicy.
Yeah. Chicken and biscuit at Popeyes.
Exactly. And there's one in the South that I really love. Called Bojangles.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, you know those?
Yeah,
yeah. Love
okay.
them.
Now you've omitted one of my favorites.
Yeah, I know I have.
1985, died Louis Hayward after smoking 100 cigarettes a day for like 40 years.
Did they take his lungs out just to show what they look like?
Well, he said, listen, after 40 years of smoking 100 or 5 packs a day, I got what I deserved. So the guy had a philosophical outlook on his lung cancer.
But he did it for 40 years.
Yeah, of course, when he started, people were thinking, you know, not a cough in a pack or whatever the hell.
Right.
A cough in a carton or whatever the hell and all that. It's good for you. You know, strengthens your lungs and all that stuff. But anyway, Louis Hayward was, now do you know this guy? He was an actor. He was kind of Columbia. You know, at the time, Warner Brothers had Errol Flynn and 20th Century Fox had Tyrone Power. Well, Columbia, to make their swashbucklers, had Louis Hayward. He's born in Johannesburg, South
Africa.
He's
born in South Africa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good-looking guy. Was married to Ida Lupino, one of my favorite actresses.
that, you know, he went off to war, fought at Tarawa. It was in Yeah, he's a Marine. And he had
This guy was a Marine?
Yeah, he headed the photographic unit, but he was right up there on the lines, and he got an Academy Award. That documentary got an Academy Award. The Marines on Tarawa.
That's by him.
Yeah, well, he did the photography, et cetera.
Okay,
yeah.
Wait a second. I always thought that was by John Ford.
No, I think you're thinking of
Midway.
No, John. That's Midway, right? And then, of course, John Huston did Battle of
Wake Island.
No, the Italian campaign, San Pietro. Yeah,
okay.
This was 1944. This guy's on Tarawa.
Okay, I got to go look this one
up. He's right there. Yeah, so he comes back from the war.
That was a horrible battle.
Yeah, a lot. 4,500 Marines or something. Yeah, it's pretty bad. And anyway, he comes home, and Ida says, something's wrong with this guy. So they got a divorce. He kind of, you know, lost
PTSD.
A little bit. So instead of that, he started, well, I think before this too, but he went back to Noel Coward, his buddy.
Oh, okay.
They were very good friends.
Yeah.
Very good friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe a little bit more than that. So, no, you know, Louis Hayward. And if you read Scotty Bowen's book, which is an interesting book, if you want to get the digs you want to get the skinny on Hollywood and who's gay and what they're up to,
you do.
Well, yeah, I think it's interesting. Skydiving. It's interesting, but I don't do it. this guy, Scotty Bowen, this guy is still alive, apparently, like 92. Oh, and during the 40s and 50s, he was like the procurer for a lot of people.
Oh, he's a wingman.
Yeah, well, no, he was a pimp. So if you wanted to, like, gay man or woman.
Oh.
You go to Scotty because he's a bartender at a lot of these parties. See?
Yes,
and of course his big trick was using his.
And then he sold it to the.
He had a flesh swizzle stick. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So he mixed your drink.
Did he sell you out to the rags?
No,
the tabloids?
No, that's why they liked him.
Oh, he was confidential.
The guy could keep a secret.
True LA confidential.
Right. And he only came out with his book a few years ago. So he's told all these stories.
Damn, he sat on that for all this time?
So he's a stand-up guy.
How about
except
that?
When he was bending over.
Oh, stop.
Pardon me, another proctology joke. Anyway, Scotty Bowen, get that book if you want.
That's our recommendation for today.
Yeah.
So now spell Bowen for me.
B-O-W-E-N.
B-O-W-E-N.
Right. And apparently, people were saying that Louis Hayward, he didn't have sex with. Maybe I got the wrong. His name is Bowen.
It's Bowers.
Bowers. I'm thinking of Bowman, the Scotty Bowman.
But boy, oh boy,
Scotty Bowers.
Stop the presses, because this is one of the greatest book titles ever.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Full Service.
Right, that's the one.
My Adventures in Hollywood and the Secret Sex Lives of the Stars.
Scotty Bowers, yeah.
Only put out in 2012.
Correct. So, I mean, the guy was born like 1923 or something. He was so... But he was the guy everybody went to get I need something or whatever. Get me a guy. Get me a man. I need a man.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this Scotty Bowers. Bowers is his name, of course.
Perfect. So here, our recommendation for the day.
Yep.
Go to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. Click the Amazon banner, type in Full Service, Scotty Bowers, get yourself a copy
of
My Adventures in Hollywood and the Secret Sex Life of the Stars, Sex Lives of the Stars. And so the book's only 5 years old.
Yeah. Anyway, they were talking about how, Noel Coward, he put that in his biography that he and Louis Hayward, in fact, he got him his start, in plays and things like that in London. And he got him his start in other ways. But they were like vehemently denied all this. I think Lupino too, and all these. Well, this guy Scotty Bauer said, "Oh no, they were very good friends."
Yeah, there you have it. What a day
in
history,
man.
Usually
you always take that with a kind of a grain of salt. But this guy's like 90 something years old. He writes a book. Why would he lie? I don't.
His motivation at that point is. He's nothing to gain and only things to lose.
I don't think the guy now the guy I can't stand is the guy that wrote the book about Errol Flynn. And Haim is his name. That's all junk. That's garbage.
Well, we're not recommending
that
one.
Right, we're not going to recommend
that. Well,
that Errol Flynn was gay and a Nazi and all that stuff. And this guy made a living off, dead stars.
Yeah.
But this Scotty Bowers.
Well, because dead stars tend not to sue people.
Yep. But their families get pissed.
Well, the estates can get pissed, but, sometimes the dead star doesn't, their family doesn't even own the rights to the dead star, though.
Well, it gets complicated.
It does.
Fortunately, we have some.
Can you imagine?
We have some legal advice.
Can you imagine a studio owning your life story? Woo boy.
Well, I'm going to try to spice it up a little bit today. Get out of here. Good luck to you. Where I belong.
Armand's Adventures on Tinder, which could be another podcast coming to the Lineup Media Group soon. All right, that'll do it for us. Thank you, Armand. Thank you, producer Drew and producer Brian Kroc, for my partners there. This has been This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Don't forget, subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, or on Podbean, and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. When February 22nd rolls around, we're going to be right here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.